Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 479, 3-4 Tweets, recorded live on April 30th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we're back. Another episode of Podtacular to roll out. We got Haas in the hot seat, we got Godzilla T in the hot seat. We're going to talk about some news for this week, which is a little on the light side, which is a nice change of pace, actually. We had a good discussion on our last episode talking about Hunt the Truth Episode 5 and the infamous Halo 5 artwork that we have out now. And now it's time to talk about a few other smaller things that have gone under the radar for the time being. But it's been an interesting week. I think we're going to get lots more stuff coming out here within the time leading up to E3. I think that's going to be the next big announcement push. Although I think it might be safe to say we'll see something about the Halo TV show at San Diego Comic-Con, or at least I hope that we do, because we haven't heard about that thing in a long time.
We haven't heard anything since last E3.
Has it really been that long? I was told about puppies when I asked about it.
Well, didn't we hear back in around the time that the Master Chief Collection came out that it was going to be on featured on commercial
Showtime.
TV? Yeah.
It's Showtime and then Halo Channel or Xbox, which probably is the Halo Channel.
Probably Halo Channel and Xbox Video, or
it'll probably have a tile on the dashboard that takes you to the Halo Channel or something like that.
Yep. Well, wasn't there supposed to be originally a Xbox Channel type thing that was supposed to be TV that just got scrapped?
Xbox TV got scrapped.
Yeah, that died when they shut down their media group or whatever it was.
Right. Yeah. But the production is still supposed to be going. Although the fact that we haven't heard anything about it is a little weird at this point.
Well, I'm just surprised nothing's leaked. I mean, like, given the fact that I'm sure there's a crap load of people on this project. I'm surprised nothing's leaked on Reddit or someone somewhere along the lines just tweeted a picture about it of somewhere.
I'm not surprised by that. Think about all the major projects, like the Batman versus Superman's and Star Wars, like, they don't leak anything on those until they want it leaked.
No, I mean, there's been people
and I think Microsoft is treating this as that kind of level, because I think this is really going to tie really tight into Halo 5. Like, I think we're going to get some pretty big story elements or character elements from this show.
Very likely, yes, but the fact that we haven't heard anything, I don't know if that's just the community being distracted with all the issues of Master Chief Collection and then obviously all the Halo 5 hype, but if we don't see something at San Diego Comic-Con about the Halo TV show, I'm going to be very surprised.
Yeah, that's when I'd start to be a little concerned, but
yeah.
I'm pretty confident we're going to see something at that time.
Well, didn't they say that it was supposed to debut this year sometime, like fall this year?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to before Halo 5 launches.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the Halo 5 hype.
Yep.
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con is something that you see a lot of TV shows and stuff like that, but it would be interesting to see if they do show something at E3 alongside with like a Halo 5 trailer or something like that. It'd be interesting to see, because if it is going to be before Halo 5, when's San Diego Comic-Con? Like, what month? It's in
June.
It's in June.
So, a month from tomorrow. Well, yeah. Ish. Give or take some days.
Yeah. So, it makes me wonder if they'll show some sort of presence of that show in there, and then Comic-Con then show, like, the actual full thing with Spielberg and everybody else.
I'm sure they'll probably mention something at E3. They probably won't go into a lot of detail.
Yeah.
You know, it's because, you know, there's people that want to know about it, and we're getting closer to it. So I would say that they would say something. I would hope that they would say something.
I think we're going to get a campaign kind of like big blowout, similar to the way we did Halo 4's at E3. And maybe, well, and didn't they also say we're going to be seeing some of the larger Halo multiplayer actions at E3.
I hope so.
I thought I saw that somewhere. I don't know. Let me. I'll have to dig.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know for certain though that we're gonna get lots of info on Halo 5. I have a feeling it's gonna be a lot more along the lines of what we're seeing with Hunt the Truth, and it's gonna be a big expansion of all the lore stuff that we're seeing. That's been the big drive that they've hinted on for E3. Multiplayer, I know it's important, and I don't know how much they're really going to focus it there, because that'll be still in the middle of HCS.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see more campaign stuff, because we already got a beta. You know, I mean, we don't really know, story plot-wise, we don't know crap about Halo 5 at all, other than the fact that Locke's after Chief, and we got two teams. That's it. Like, that's the only thing that we know so far.
Pretty much.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do pull out. I mean, I hope we get some sort of cinematic trailer where Chief and Locke are just going at it. Like, that's the opening sequence or whatever. Like, when we seen the Halo 5 trailer in E3 2013, like, I had no idea what that was at first. Like, you see some dude in robes walking out in the sand, and it's like, all right, this is interesting. What is this? What is this? And as soon as you seen that hand, like, I immediately knew who it was. Like, so I hope it's something that they can kind of surprise us with at first, and then go into showing us that it is Halo 5. Like, I like that mystery at first.
So everyone knows that Halo's coming, though, and we thought there was going to be something Halo related there. We pretty much knew it. You're talking about the E3 one from a couple years ago, right? Not the one last year.
Yeah, I said 2013.
Yeah, okay. We know that Halo 5 is coming, so I don't think it's going to be something as much of a surprise showing. I think at the very first second you're going to see it, you're going to know it's Halo. I doubt they would do something surprising like that, because we're all expecting it. Whereas 2013, we knew there was something going to be Halo, but we didn't know what direction it's going to take. We know more or less the direction that's going to take, and now it's just going to be what's the surprise of the information itself.
Right. Yeah. Hope. I don't know. It's going to be interesting now to see what they do show us, come up with. I like the whole stage presentation thing you did with the Master Chief Collection with Bravo and Ghost Niami and all of them, just kind of showing us that. That'd be interesting to see if they did kind of the same thing with Chief, like kind of walking up on stage. That'd be neat. I don't think they would, but it'd be interesting to see if they did.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I have a feeling we'll see quite a bit of stuff at E3 regarding the campaign. I would think there might be a tease or might be a mention about the TV show, and then a lot of expansion on what the TV show is come San Diego Comic-Con. Because that's right, where they've really done a lot of their external universe stuff. So stuff with the books, stuff with the comics, the movies, Halo Legends, all that stuff. They've mostly debuted that kind of stuff and had the really deep dives into the external fiction at San Diego Comic-Con.
Right.
So that's where I imagine that's going to happen. Other than the TV thing, I think there's not much else that we're really expecting, right? We know the multiplayer, we're expecting the campaign stuff. I don't think there's really anything else out there that we really don't know that's coming. I think that's kind of the one big unknown at this point. Regardless, though, we have a few details about Halo 5 Guardians that just came out from Josh Holmes over Twitter and over on a TBeyond forum post as well. So get to the Twitter stuff first, since that's what happened over the weekend. Actually, I think it happened the day after we recorded episode 476 last week. So Josh put out a tweet, or put out several tweets, and we wrote a post about this. But there is going to be a limited edition Halo 5 Guardians Xbox One. So start saving now, because you're going to want to drop another $400 for another console if you're a big collector like I am.
I want it so bad. I want it bad, but there's no way I'm going to be able to afford that. I could get the controller, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be one broke person come Christmas this year, because with going to RTX, buying the collector's edition Halo 5, the console, and I'll probably pick up a controller, not to mention all the books they're releasing.
Yep.
So much for working on the project vehicle.
Well, for the most part, there's going to be lots of contests, probably. Unless they decide to go the route which they've slowly been going to and actually making a limited edition limited. But for a console, I don't imagine Microsoft would do that. I could see for the collector's edition game stuff, they would make it actually limited. But as far as the consoles go, I think that's too much of a seller for Microsoft to really heavily limit something like that.
Well, I mean, you could still go and get the Reach and Halo 4 consoles brand new from eBay or Amazon. Like, they're still out there.
Actually, they've kind of dropped off recently.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been kind of keeping an eye out for them. Of course, I haven't had the extra money to purchase them yet, but because I do need to retire my, you know, my original Halo 3 console. You know, that's what I still play on whenever I'm on 360.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I actually don't have my original. It red ringed, and I'm pretty sure that Microsoft just sent me a replacement and didn't fix mine because it was like a week turnaround. It might be a pretty simple fix. I don't know, but it was just, it's like I sent it out and, you know, like the next week it was back. So anyway, I would like to pick up the Halo Reach console and the Halo 4 console. You know, one, to retire my current 360, but also to have all three consoles.
Yeah. You can find those for pretty cheap, actually, the consoles. And if you
can still find them new, used all over the place, but yeah. I kind of want the new ones so I can get the DLC codes.
Oh.
For, gotcha. You know, the avatar items and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if I can get one within reason of what retail price was, I'll pick it up. But if I can't, I won't. And I just, you know, when it comes to electronics, I'm kind of skittish about buying used.
I'm right there with you. Well,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I haven't had any major issues. And the ones that I have had problems with, the person I bought it from was very kind and took care of it. But with this was a big problem early on 360, is a lot of people were selling consoles that had been banned from Xbox Live. Well, you don't know that until you actually get the console.
Yep.
And try to connect. And, you know, that's always been one of those things that I've been kind of skittish about buying used consoles for, is, you know, you're taking a chance that they are telling you that it's a good console and it hasn't been locked out of Xbox Live.
That's a good point.
You know, from what I understand, there's really no way to get Microsoft to unlock a console.
Yeah. You know, once it's banned, it probably takes an act of Microsoft Congress to get it unbanned, if that's even possible.
Well, you know, I don't think it is possible, because I had one of my friends, has a pastor that plays video games, and he had, you know, he had like 150,000 gamer score.
Uh huh.
Xbox decided he was hacking his console and locked his account, took all his gamer score away.
Did he call Xbox support?
He called Xbox support, and he gave them documentation that he had every single one of these games and that he beat every single one of these games. You know, because he had a Gamefly subscription.
Right, right.
You know, and his challenge, and that's what he liked doing with, you know, the Xbox, was watching that gamer score go up. That's the only reason he really played games, because he liked, well, I mean, he likes playing games, but, you know, that's what his goal was, is to get that gamer score just as absolute high as he can. You know, he'd perfect every game he rented. You know, he'd get that 1,000 gamer score on every game.
I know a couple of friends that are like that. That's weird.
So do I.
That sucks.
Well, I mean, that's how my old account got, like, screwed up. Like, it's the same thing. I mean, granted, my friend kind of boosted like a game or so, but like any game that I got legit, like I 100%ed ODST, 100%ed Halo 3, I 100%ed Oblivion, which was the Elder Scrolls game, like 100%ed a lot of the games. And it's like, not only do they sit there and take your gamer score away and you can't get your gamer score back, they mark you as a cheater on your little tenure or whatever, like your underground or whatever
their tenure, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like
it literally marks you as a traitor. So if anybody ever comes into contact with you, they have kind of a bad reputation on you. So it sucks. And then you have to sit there. Not only can you not get your stuff back, you have to go make another account, which really sucks. But you have to go and redo all that work all over mm-hmm. again. And that's the reason why I kind of was hesitant to play all the old games I did before. Is because I already did all that work once. I don't want to have to sit there and do it all over again.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm an angel and I haven't boosted my gamer score. But it was not for the gamer score. It was just 100% a game.
Yeah.
And, it was Halo 3.
Yeah.
There was just some achievements that I couldn't get in regular matchmaking for the simple facts that the maps never showed up because the DLC was, it was paid DLC.
Yep.
And by that point, pretty much everybody had kind of shifted away from Halo 3. I mean, there were still a lot of people playing it, but most of the people playing it didn't have the DLC or didn't want to play the DLC. Whenever it would show up, they'd always vote for, Sandtrap or Boundless, or I got so tired of playing Boundless. It's, so me and my friend, we did boost a few achievements.
Yep, I did that with Halo Reach.
But this is right before Halo Reach launched. This was like 3 months before Halo Reach was ready to set the launch. I mean, everybody, we'd already gone through the beta and, it was, Halo Reach was coming. So, this was pretty much the end of the natural life of Halo 3 as far as, support and updates to the game, short mm-hmm. of, technical updates and stuff like that. They'd already quit, rotating playlists. And it's just, there are places where I can see where people would want to boost the achievements. And there's people out there that boost the achievements just to get the gamer score. They have no intention of actually playing the game.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm trying to say. So,
I get what you mean.
But anyway, that's just one thing. I'm kind of skittish about used Xboxes.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Now, that was a totally unrelated tangent. I want the Halo 5 Guardians Xbox.
All of us
do. I want
it.
2 terabytes at least.
Yep.
For the hard drive.
I got a 2 terabyte external, but I would love for one, it to be the Call of Duty memory size. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if it was a totally redesigned console, a little slimmed down, especially with how quote unquote sleek and sexy the PS4 is. I think Xbox kind of needs to make a statement that not all of our consoles are going to be bricks forever.
Well, I don't think you're going to see a case redesign just yet.
Yeah. I would not be surprised.
I mean,
they gotta appeal. The price drop hasn't worked. So what else can they do? They're not going to change all the hardware. I mean,
appeal is going to be the way to necessarily get people to get on board with it.
It's going to play a little bit. I mean, maybe not to a ton of people, but if
it's not. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's people out there that won't buy an Xbox just because it looks like a brick, but what Xbox needs to do is, they need to focus on the gamers more. Don't get me wrong. The extra stuff that you can do with a 360 and an Xbox One are great. All the little, family oriented stuff, the Netflix and the social and all that stuff that is integrated into the Xbox One. But the one thing that PS4 has over Xbox One is that they are gamer focused.
Oh yeah, they're zoned in.
And then the other thing is when you're comparing apples to apples, like you're playing the game on the Xbox One and you play the game on the PS4, the PS4 can run the game at 1080p, where in a lot of cases the Xbox One is still running it at 720.
900 for the win.
That is something that they really should have addressed. And it's not because it's a limitation of the hardware. It's the software that's doing it. Because the hardware in an Xbox One, while it specs less than a PS4, it is more than capable of running the games at 1080p.
Yeah.
And performing just as well as just as well as the PS4.
What would happen if Halo 5 did not release at 1080p?
I don't see it not releasing at 1080p. It's
going well, I don't either, 1080p. But I mean, can you imagine the flame war from that?
Well, like, it's just proving that Xbox isn't putting out what it should be. If there's something seriously wrong, if a game can't be coming out in 1080p, it's
like the past Wii, that stage. The Wii releasing and can only do like 720.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like we're at that point in technology where anything can run 1080p nowadays. It's just simple as that. Like everyone, anywhere you can go, YouTube runs it. Everywhere runs 1080p. If an Xbox One cannot sit there and run a game in full 1080p, there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Have a tablet that does 2K.
You know, the deal with, you know, the Xbox One, it's the way their operating system works. And Penn's Halo, we've talked about this multiple times. I have no idea why they honestly did not go with the 64-bit architecture for the Xbox One. It's out. It's been out for several years. It's a proven architecture. Granted, certain pieces do cost more to run that architecture, but you get so much more out of it.
Yep.
You know, better power consumption, better overall performance. With just that one change, they could have smoked the PS4 in game performance.
Yep.
You know, the games would have just naturally went to 1080p because it's just so much more efficient. But, you know, they're still, you know, I still kind of get why they went with the older system because, you know, they have to keep these things within a budget. Granted, when they bundled it with Kinect, they kind of blew everybody's budget, but they figured that out and dropped the Kinect.
Yep.
You know, they still have a price point they have to keep this that, you know, it didn't help because they screwed themselves on that by making it a requirement to buy the Kinect. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been a totally different picture if they had made the Kinect optional right from the beginning.
Right. And the thing is, it's like everybody knew that that was coming. Even when they sit there and said that, oh, well, it's coming with it. Everybody knew that they're going to see that no one wants it, and they're going to sit there and make a console without it. That was bound to happen. No one's going to sit there and want to sit there and pay an extra $100 for something that they'll never use. I mean, granted, I use it just because it's a lot easier to use voice commands and all that stuff. Although I say totally different words than what it says it does, and it brings up something completely stupid. I mean, I've ran into that 100 times. But they're not going to sit there and want to pay for something they're not going to use. And another thing to bring up with the Xbox is that I got a PlayStation 4 and I got an Xbox One. And the one thing I will say that PlayStation has down is that it's not running 100 million different things at once that's going to sit there and make the Xbox slower. Or, well, it's going to make the PlayStation slower. Xbox, you're running your game, then you're running a party, then you're running messages, you're running this, you're running that, you're running this, you're running that. Like, the whole Snap system and the whole app system on Xbox One is horrible. It's so bad. Like, I tried exiting out in the menu the other day. It tried loading so many things at once, and I'm sitting there zooming around. It literally just reset the Xbox. Like, it's like, I can't handle this. Life sucks. I'm restarting. That's basically what happened. I mean, the 360 was perfect. The interface on it was perfect. Granted, it was slow, but, like, it was, like, 10 times faster than what the Xbox is doing, or the Xbox One's doing.
You know, since you brought that up, I kind of still miss the old Dash.
Yeah.
It was just very simple. Here.
You know, I like to be able to, you know, hit that Xbox button and just launch the party. I honestly don't miss the blades that much.
I do. I love those things.
Yeah.
If I could have the blades and still have the Xbox button, I'd be okay with it.
Right, like the guide and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Because back when we had the blades, the guide was not very useful at all.
True.
Well, I mean, another thing is too that the Xbox dashboard was ugly. Like, it was really ugly. The fact that it was all black in the background and, like, it was just these ugly colors. I mean, granted, they had colors to get choose from, but without any sort of, like, custom background or able to do any background thing like that, people hated it. Like, that's one thing I will say about
360 is the same way.
Well, no.
They just have a monocolor background.
No, you can apply different backgrounds to 360.
You can do that to Xbox One, too.
Well, now, I'm saying, but, like, in the beginning of that, it was just
When we first got 360, no, you couldn't.
Yeah, you had the blade colors.
Well, right. Well,
you had the Blade Killers, but even after that, that when they first switched to this new UI, you couldn't set backgrounds. It was the next dashboard update after that where they brought in backgrounds.
Yeah, but how long did that take?
No, because you could pull in backgrounds from pictures before the NXE, the new Xbox experience. You could still customize that with a new dashboard. And you could still use themes, too. Because I remember when they went from... Yes?
I thought they didn't interest themes until the NXE.
No, there were Blade themes, dude. Like, you could have, like, four different pictures for...
No, I'm not talking about Blades. It was...
Yeah,
there was an update when they went between...
When they went from the Blade system to the new Xbox experience, you could pull over the themes that you had where it had those each image per blade thing.
Yeah.
And that translated to the new Xbox experience.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Sorry. Yeah,
because I applied the Halo 1 or the Halo CE background to it. Like, that was the very first theme I ever got, was the Halo CE background. And then that transferred into Halo.
I think it was the Halo 3 one, because that's what I got with the Xbox.
Yeah. But like the interface was so much more friendlier on 360. Like even the very first one that came out, I liked it better than the original Xbox One that came out. Like when I opened that up the first time, I was like, "All right, let's see what's going on. What's going on?" Ew. Like, it just like completely turned off any sort of like, "Oh, this is cool looking." Like, it just, the Snap Party app, the fact that the Blu-ray player didn't work day one just blew me away. Like, I sit there try watching a Blu-ray movie and it's just, it wasn't happening.
I don't even own a Blu-ray, so it didn't really matter to me.
Oh, dude, I'm all about movies. Like, anything. Well,
don't get me wrong. I do movies, but all my stuff is digital. You know, I have a media server that I store all that stuff on.
I rather see, it's weird that you say that, and I'm going on another tangent, and I apologize. It's weird because this will tie it in. But like, it's weird because I rather have a movie as a DVD. Like, I don't want digital stuff. But when it comes to a game, I'm willing to go digital, but I still rather have that. It's weird. Like, I guess with a game, you download it and you're going to be playing online. But like, if your power goes out and you want to watch a movie, you can't really download it. I mean, granted, you have like flash.
Well, if you've got no power, you ain't going to be running no Blu-ray.
I mean, not power, not not power. Like, if you lose your internet or whatever out of a storm.
That's just it. You know, the way that I do this is, you know, I do buy a physical copy of the movie and then I rip it, you know, just like you do your MP3s.
Yeah.
And I store it on my media server. Or I, you know, if I find a digital copy of it, you know, if I find a digital copy, I'll download that and put it out on my media server. But, you know, most of the stuff I have on my media server, I have a physical copy of.
Right. Right now, and I get that, but I just miss the old way of you being able to download a movie on your 360, which you can't do anymore. That was something I enjoyed a lot. Like you still have that copy. Like, even if you can't connect it to the internet or anything like that, you can still watch the movie regardless. With Xbox One, you have to be connected to the internet at all times. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You know, I actually absolutely hated the download the movie thing. Really? I had to call Microsoft 4 times to get refunds because in the middle of the download, the system crashed.
Okay. I got you.
And this is not over like a month period. This is over like 5 years.
So the thing with everyone using online is that's just the way the industry is going. Everything is cloud storage. You stream what you need when you need it type of thing. And that's just the way multimedia streaming happens. I mean, look at Spotify, look at Netflix, look at Hulu. You have all those services, and you're not, the only downloading you're doing is when you're instantly pulling something down to watch. And for stuff like Amazon Prime Video, you can download it for like a 24-hour period before it expires, like if you have a Kindle Fire or something. But if you're on Android or iOS or on your computer, you're streaming that. You're not downloading it, and that's just the way the industry has gone, because you have that cloud storage, so you can just watch it whenever you want.
Well, another thing that they introduced too, which I like for iTunes, is that you can download and have your thing in cloud storage at the same time. That is one thing I did like. Like, I like the fact of having two options. You can have everything in the cloud, but you can also have a hard copy of it downloaded to your PC or whatever, because it makes it easier for like planes if you don't want to sit there and pay the $20-$30 you have to pay for the internet Wi-Fi and all that junk. Now you can just sit there and watch the movie directly on your PC or iPad or whatever.
Another reason that I support my own cloud, it's, you know, so that if I want to put something on my phone, it's already encoded. All I have to do is transfer it to my phone. I don't have to go to a website and download a mobile friendly version of the movie.
The thing is, you most know, people are comfortable with the streaming of media content to a device. Because most of the time, if you're at home, you're on your own internet. And unless you're on a ISP like Comcast that has a data cap per month, you're not really worried about, well, unless you have a slow download speed, you're not really, I mean, it's there. You have instant access to it. That's just the way the industry is going.
And with the Xbox One, with the way they've got it done, they, you know, when you install the game, you install the game, but you're not getting all the content. Or, well, you're not getting the whole game because they're hosting the AI on cloud servers, which allows you to have more combatants in the game because your local system isn't having to do as much, you know, work on, you know, running the AI, and it can spend more of its resources working on the graphics and, you know, other things that are demanding.
Right. Depending on whatever game it is.
Yeah. There's always going to be something about game consoles or DVD players or computers that bug people. And because it's just a changing environment. You know, Microsoft could have done a lot better job on the Xbox One. They have the technology, but it's just really sad that it got off to such a rough start.
Yeah. So let's get off this tangent and keep on going.
So aside from the console announcement, there's a couple other things. One is that there is supposed to be no peer-to-peer games whatsoever. Now, I don't know if that means no LAN support, because we know that for the Master Chief Collection, this is a gripe that a lot of people have. You can't have the Xbox offline. It has to be connected to the Xbox Live service somehow in order to do any kind of multiplayer functionality, which I still think is stupid.
It defeats the whole purpose of like a LAN party. It really does. I mean, granted, there's a small community that still does that, but you got to look at it like tournaments too. That's the smoothest way to do a tournament is through LAN. You're not worrying about internet connection. You're not worrying about, you know, like if the power goes out or something like that, it'll reset everything. Like, granted, or the internet goes out for some stupid reason, it resets everything. Like, you can just connect it through a couple routers and everybody's right there. You're not worrying about interference or anything like that. It's straight shot. So the fact that they got rid of all that is really irritating. And the fact they're going like this is really irritating as well.
Well, actually, you know, they've already made two very public issues with having an always-on connection like that. Remember when Kiki Wolfkill was presenting the Halo channel?
Yeah.
What kept popping up down at the bottom?
The notifications. Yep.
Exactly. If you could have, you know, and the reason they kept popping up is because they had to have that Xbox online.
And you'd see the little gamer tag up in the top left.
Exactly.
It's an interesting topic. I'm really curious to see what it means when everything's on dedicated servers in Halo 5. But not being able to be offline and play on multiple Xboxes is pretty pathetic, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a Halo issue.
Yeah.
It's
any game.
The Xbox One issue, but like, my God. Especially for HCS, don't you think that would be the most purest form that you could have? I mean, don't even let there be a question.
Yeah.
So I don't.
And the internet's too unpredictable. Being online constantly is too unpredictable. And the fact that you're going to have such a huge tournament in front of thousands of people and you're going to have these hiccups where someone gets kicked offline, or just the incredible amount of hiccups we've seen with tournaments before because of internet issues. I would think they would try to steer away from that.
So, perfect example is what happened last weekend. Because of all the Xbox Live issues, they had to cancel HCS Online Tournament number 1.
Yep. Yep.
Because of Xbox Live issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's the online tournament, so they're playing online. That's kind of unavoidable. But think if that was the HCS Grand Finals at PAX. What would have happened? What would they have done? And I actually asked, who is it? Either Tashi or someone else at PAX. It's like, have you guys ever thought about just standing up your own private Xbox Cloud instance to host these kinds of tournaments? Because if Xbox Live goes down, you're kind of up poop creek without a paddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's the rub is getting there. Xbox or getting Microsoft to let go of the information that is needed to build a standalone Xbox Live server.
But it is Xbox 343 Xbox. They're pretty much one. Technically they're not one the same, but.
Well, I mean, it's the fact of having this server out in the wild and not that, you know, it's because it's not a Microsoft company. It's just having this server out traveling around, you know, like for LAN tournament or, you know, like convention tournaments and stuff like that. As far as, you know, like the online tournaments, you know, I don't know if the Xbox is capable, you know, it's capable of switching hosts without just screwing everything else up.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that it's, Microsoft's flagship title is Halo. Mm-hmm. It's their first party exclusive. That's their game. They should be taking care of their game every step of the way. And honestly, they need to at least really push the idea of LAN. Whether it's working with the Xbox team to actually make that a possibility or what. But that is something that, and I mean, that's the other thing that it kills for like LAN tournaments too. Or just having fun LANs in general. You could take your I remember back in college, you could just take your Xbox. You wouldn't have to hook it up to anything except like other consoles just on a network switch. And there you go. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. It's like when we do our like LAN tournaments that we do, I mean, we were actually thinking about doing a prize deal for the first person that like our little community of friends that we have that game. A Halo tournament to see if we'd have a Halo 5 limited edition we're going to give away for the first prize winner. Then we got the collectors or whatever the lower edition is from that. Then the Halo 5 and then just different things like that. Just like first, second, or third place with a LAN tournament. Now, we wanted to use MCC and we can't do that. Because like where we go, like we have internet, but sometimes it doesn't work. Like the connection for some stupid reason with the router wirelessly doesn't work. But we just wanted to sit there and have an easy LAN tournament, and you can't do it. You can't. It just doesn't happen, and it sucks. It's like that was one of the things I was honestly looking forward to the Master Chief Collection. It's like, oh right, lantern. Oh crap, we can't. You know, it's. I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, it's there. Yeah. It's done. You can't really change it, but.
Well, they could change it, but they're not going to. At least for MCC. Now on Halo 5, they could. You know, with that, we're reading a lot into it. And there's a couple of ways you could take this. You know, he could be saying there is not going to be any peer-to-peer for matchmaking. You know, Halo 5 may support LANs, but it's the problem on that side is not with the game, it's with the box itself. You know, it's Xbox that makes it to where you have to be connected. And the game's designed along those lines.
I still think there's a way they can make it possible.
Well, yeah, in a convention type tournament where the players come to the boxes, yeah, they could just set up, you know, they could have a traveling set of 8 Xboxes or 16 or 30 Xboxes, whatever they've got, and then have a standalone server that all those boxes connect to basically fake the Xbox Live connection.
But let's just take that completely out of the equation and not have to worry about having to have a dedicated Xbox Live infrastructure. If I want to go over to my friend's house and play Halo on a LAN without having to worry about doing any kind of complex network setup or having to be checked in online just in order for me to see another person on another Xbox in the same room on the same freaking network I am, that is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Oh, yeah. You know, Xbox needs to bring back the LAN support to the system so that the game designers can put it in their games.
That was one of the cornerstones of Halo, was the ability to go over and have a freaking LAN party. And that's completely taken away. That whole nostalgia aspect of Halo. Everyone was going to be super excited to play LAN party Halo across the board with the Master Chief Collection. Who's done a LAN party on Xbox One, and it's been like a smashing success? I haven't heard of any really big major Halo lands anywhere since the Master Chief Collection has come out.
Well, I mean, the closest thing that we've had has been the tournaments.
But those are officially sanctioned things that happen online.
Yeah, there's like, no like, you know, local tourneys like we used to have.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the closest thing we've had have been the big tournaments at the conventions. I mean, that's the closest thing we've had to an actual LAN event.
And you see how long it takes for them to set up games.
Exactly.
For those. It takes 20 to 30 minutes just to get consoles set up, get players set up, and all that stuff. It's ridiculous. And no, this isn't meant to like offend 343 or Xbox or whatever. It's just the situation that we're in is not really fitting to what the history of Halo fans has been used to.
Not only, you know, the history of Halo, but the history of the Xbox brand.
That too, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, that is part, you know, it's a complete experience. The console and the game working together in this environment. And granted, you know, when they developed the, you know, developed the original Xbox, you know, peer-to-peer was the only thing you had. And then they introduced the Xbox Live, which, you know, what they call the virtual couch, which, you know, expanded it to worldwide. But they still kept that LAN support there, even when they launched the 360. And it really should have been there in the Xbox One. I understand that they're trying to maximize profits and stuff by, you know, encouraging people to have these always on games and stuff, because, you know, they make a little extra money on it because, you know, these game developers have to rent the servers and stuff like that. But, you know, this is going, it's gone too far with the Xbox One.
Yeah, you know, I think
we need that. We need to have that available to where, you know, when the Xbox Live is down or we just want to play, you know, play offline, that we don't have to do, you know, this jumping jack routine to just get in the freaking game so we can play campaign. Now, a game like Destiny, where the bulk of the game is on servers, okay, you know, I can understand, okay, I'm not going to play that game because, you know, it's an open world game. But, you know, for a game like Master Chief, or, you know, Master Chief, or like a game like Halo, where the campaign is on the disc or on the hard drive, there is no reason that if Xbox Live's down or my internet connection's down, that I shouldn't be able to play at least campaign.
Yep, and I'm right along there with you, because living in the middle of freaking nowhere, the storms and everything else knocks out my internet all the time. And it's like, say for that, if I get bored, like if it's downpouring and there's no internet or anything like that, it's like, if I don't want to sit there and do that, I'll just go for achievements. You know, that's something I can do. Just go after achievements. Oh, I can't, because I have to be connected to the internet just to actually play the freaking game. Like, to
well, me, you can actually play the Master Chief Collection without a connection to the servers as long as you're going in campaign. But it's just such a pain in the butt to get the Xbox One to realize that you want to play offline. You know, it's a 10-minute ordeal just to get it. Get the Xbox to realize, oh, wait a minute, I don't have an internet connection. You'll have to play offline.
Well, no, you can't unlock achievements offline.
I'm not saying that you can unlock achievements. I'm saying just play the game.
Oh, right, right. No, I mean, playing the game is, yeah, you can do that. But, like, if you're going after achievements, so, like, the online stuff, the actual functions that you can get has to be online. I don't know if I feel that's wrong. Because, like, what was it? Me and my friend were just playing Halo at his house, and we're doing all the campaign missions and all that stuff. And it's like, why aren't the achievements popping? It's like, oh, you have to be connected just so the internet can recognize that you are getting these achievements. Mm-hmm. To me, that's wrong. You shouldn't have to do that.
Well, one of the problems with Xbox 360, going back to my little rant about banning, is the fact that you could do them offline. There, you know, most of the achievement hacks out there took advantage of that vulnerability for, you know, people that are boosting achievements. And what would happen is, you know, they would go in and they would mod their profile, and then they would sign back into Xbox Live. And then all of a sudden, you know, Xbox Live would say, oh, well, you got all these achievements while you were offline, and then give you credit for them. I'm not saying this is the right way to fix it, but
I mean, that tells me that it's just a poor coding practice that they have in there to whatever checks that they do with the profile. Mm-hmm. There's ways around that.
Well, I'm not saying given enough time, anybody's going to figure out how to cheat the system. Well,
yeah, given enough time. But if you deter the majority of users from doing it, or make it hard for them to do it, then, like, is Microsoft really that concerned about players' gamer score?
I think they're more concerned about the fact that people were getting into their code. Not necessarily.
Well, that's not on the gamers. That's not on the gamers' fault. That's their fault for not coding it well.
Well, it's you can have the latest security system on your house, and a burglar's gonna, if he wants in your place, he's gonna find a way. It's, you know, the whole premise is, it just boils down to this: locks are there to keep honest people honest. If somebody wants to break into the, you know, Microsoft's security code or their, you know, the Xbox code, they're gonna find a way, and it's up to Microsoft to make it as hard as possible to deter them from doing that, but they're going to get around it. You know, I'm not saying this is the reason why they moved the achievements to you have to be online, but it could play a part in it, because it's a lot easier to manage that stuff when it's when that information is located on your own equipment in a facility that you manage.
This is just me, I guess, but it seems like the emphasis that they're putting on securing licenses and achievements and stuff like that from having to keep you online. I mean, it's worked on the Xbox 360. So why change the architecture that drastically?
I've got 5 bazillion theories.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them boil down to somebody wants to line their pockets, which is, you know, just kind of a theory that I have against all corporate America, because, you know, it's just the way things are. And I wish, you know, that we could change it. But, you know, that's a long and drawn out political discussion, so I'm going to stay out of that one.
Yeah. So another few tweets that we have to go through, and then we have a post that there was on the Team Beyond forums from what Josh said as well. So next tweet that we have is that there is no current plans for any additional Halo 5 beta. I know a lot of people probably hear that and are a little hesitant to accept that and maybe have second thoughts about Halo 5 after what I thought was a very successful beta at Christmas time.
I think they did an awesome job with the beta, especially after the, problems that they were having with MCZ.
It was more stable.
Well, yeah, it was a lot more stable. You know, I don't know if they were using a different version of this matchmaking system that they were putting in Halo or in Master Chief Collection, or if it was something all new, but it worked very well. I mean, don't get me. Yeah, I had
game crashes. It was a different system.
I'm pretty sure we all had game crashes, you know, where we had dashboard and go back in. But for the most part, you know, once you actually got into a rhythm of games, it worked very well. You were matched up quickly. Once you got in the game, very few people actually dropped out. And the people that did drop out are people that quit.
Yep. It bodes well. The only problem I honestly had, and it was a reoccurring problem for me, I mean, anytime we played, we always witnessed it, but is when you got into a game, if for some reason, like, someone's internet wasn't compatible to somebody, or if someone's not type restrict or something like that, it would literally flash and crash the game. Like, that's what happened to me every single game, it seemed. And then I figured out how to open up my NAT, which, that whole button trick. And then, like, then it started happening to other people. Like, Duquesne started having the same problems because his NAT was moderate. And then after that, like, who else had a couple problems with it? Like, that was the only problem I honestly had that I had an issue with Halo 5. Like, honestly, that was about it.
Xbox networking code is something else.
Yeah, those party systems are real great. There's a reason why Xbox bought Skype or Microsoft.
Wait, what?
I'm saying, like, the party systems on Xbox One, too, they're horrible. The Xbox party system on Xbox One is absolutely horrible.
Xbox party system is horrible. Yeah.
I use Skype. I literally use Skype every single time I go on the party with a couple of people. Because
Skype
works. Like I said, there's a reason why Microsoft bought Skype.
I don't think it was just because of Xbox, but yeah, I get your point. Yeah. But for Halo 5 not planning to have another beta, I don't think it's necessarily as bad as people might think of it, but it does kind of bode the question of, with the tacky launch of the Master Chief Collection.
You know, I would love to see them do a load test beta, but I understand that, you know, that requires a lot of resources. Because it'd have to take, the simplest way probably would take the existing beta that still sits on my dashboard and mocks me, and update it to the latest code and then push it back out. But, you know, to take and split the people off of the team and to do that, I want the beta, but I don't want them distracted from getting the game right either.
I mean, we have to think how much of a capacity test did they actually, or how much data did they get from the capacity test they did from the first beta? They already have a new matchmaking system in place that Halo 5 was using, I think, compared to the Master Chief Collection. So just going off of that, we know that we're already looking at more stable party and matchmaking code, which is great. But when it comes to the end of the line, I think I feel a little bit better about Halo 5 than I do with the Master Chief Collection. But I can also see the flip side where not having another multiplayer beta, not having that final stress test would have a lot of people concerned. Mm-hmm. But do you guys think that we absolutely need another Halo 5 beta? What's kind of everyone's opinions here?
I think we do in terms of giving fans confidence again. It, like, yes, they're unrelated. It's two different systems, all that. But the mass population who's not going to look into any of that, they're going to see the title Halo on the front of a game and they go, I remember buying a Halo game last year and I couldn't play it. And I think just to give comfort to the general players that don't do their research, that they kind of just are looking at these games, I think it's important for them to have that confidence and, you know, but just give it to every Xbox owner. Don't make it a pre-order thing through GameStop. Just put it right there on the dashboard, Halo 5 beta weekend. And it, you know, it's a mid September, maybe, just Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And they just push it out there, put four maps, two 4v4 maps and two 8v8 maps or whatever their big team is, and just let people really stress test it. One, two, try and find their confidence back, and hopefully 343 is able to deliver on that. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Haas. It would be great if they do it to get that final stress test in, but also to, I think it would also help promote the stability of the game. if the baby goes off well. But if it doesn't go off well, it can also detract players from wanting to buy Halo 5. You know, if they do happen to get it wrong, it could hurt them as much as it could help them. It could probably actually hurt them worse than as much than more than what it could help them. But there again, you know, it's you're walking on that double edged sword, because okay, you don't do the beta and you launch the game and matchmaking crashes again.
Unfortunately, they have their money at that point in time, and at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can still always, you know, if you buy a hard, you know, a physical copy, you can always go take, you know, take it back and get your money back. And Microsoft issued, if I remember correctly, Microsoft issued refunds even on digital copies with Master Chief Collection.
Which is good, but people still feel cheated out by not getting the game they originally thought they were buying.
Exactly.
For the most part, I would agree that having a final beta would definitely boost confidence in a lot of people buying the game. As far as the networking issues, that would probably be helpful there as well, because they're not going to get that much of a stress test in a lab environment. And we already know from the Master Chief Collection, where they said that they tested this game and it worked fine in test. When it went to live production, it absolutely flopped. And we're still recovering from some of those today.
You know, I almost wonder when the game went to production if the code got corrupted.
I couldn't imagine so. You wouldn't be shipping corrupt code.
Well, you know, I don't know what the process is for actually, you know, printing a disc, other than, you know, the actual, you know, what is done to print the disc. I, you know, I understand that, but, you know, how is the media transferred to the production facility? How many copies of the media are taken to the production facility? You know, do they just give them one copy and it's split between, you know, 10 machines that actually print the discs, or, you know, do they send them 10 separate copies?
It's probably one gold disc image that they send out to all these duplication mm-hmm. companies. And I would hope that they do checks, do verifications on the disc. I think that's part of quality control, is that they check to make sure that the discs that they duplicate match the discs or match that gold image.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like when, yeah, I'm not using this as an excuse for 343, because even if this is the true cause of the problem, they should have caught it. But when they make those gold discs, what if somehow when in their printing or in their copying, something got screwed up?
Even in their gold disc, they should be doing checks.
Like I said, you know, even at this point, it, you know, if that was the problem, 343 should have caught it. But what if
yes.
they missed it?
I think that what if is very, very, very unlikely.
You know, I just...
That's one of those one in a million type things. Because you compile the code, you test the code. After the code's been tested and verified, you're writing that code straight to disk.
Mm-hmm.
Once you write that code straight to disk, you're checking that disk to make sure it checks out with the code that you just compiled and wrote.
Oh yeah, I know. I run software that whenever I burn a disk or I copy a file, it verifies that the file got copied correctly. You know, and I know they run that kind of software. They have to, because you can't print the disk and then look at the disk and go, you know, line by line for the code. You have to have some type of software checking that disk. It's just I just keep getting this feeling that the reason they had such a problem with Master Chief Collection was something like that. Just a small mistake.
Code corruption, I can't. That makes no sense to me.
Well, I can't see that, you know, you have all these game companies and it's, you know, if it was limited to just the Master Chief Collection, I would say, okay, their testing procedure was flawed. But this out of the box dead multiplayer thing wasn't limited to just the Master Chief Collection.
No. Other games had similar experiences where matchmaking and multiplayer did not work well off the start. Assassin's Creed was, I think, the worst that got the hit of it.
Yeah. So I don't think the testing was necessarily the problem as far as, you know, the, you know, testing the multiplayer. It's, it, there's something, there's a new variable in there that, you know, at least three companies didn't account for.
A lot of companies, if you think about it. Titanfall had issues. Assassin's Creed had issues. I think Call of Duty had some issues.
Yeah, it was just to varying degrees. I mean, at least Titanfall, when you got it, you could play it. It just was very unstable. You know, where with Assassin's Creed, you know, I think you loaded up the game and it immediately kick you back to dashboard or Battlefield or one of them. One of them, you couldn't even get into campaign. It was so broken. So I would just, I really wish I knew what they changed to make sure that it doesn't do this again with Halo 5. You know, do, are they using a larger test pool?
Well, and you have to think too, with all those other games having issues, it may not be all Halo Master Chief Collection issue. It could be an issue with the Xbox Live infrastructure and the APIs they're in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But, you know, they still have to be testing for this stuff. So, you know, where did the checks and balances fall apart?
Oh, that's probably corporate classified.
I don't think that's an answer we'll ever have.
So,
sadly, no.
You know, the whole network stress test could still be a moot point. You know, if the checks and balances aren't there, we could wind up with another Master Chief Collection, which, you know, so far, it does not look like it's going to happen.
So far, but people aren't going to hinge on that too much.
Yeah. I mean, it would be smart to test these servers, though, because internally, it may be working great. You know, their product that they're playing right now that could be the final game. Like, they're getting games, they're getting match made, all these different things. Like, it'd be working great. But as soon as the 50,000, 100,000 people that hit those servers, for some stupid reason, it screws up and it messes up like the Master Chief Collection did, you're screwed. Like, people are going to get pissed. And I think it would be a wise decision on 343 and Microsoft's part if they did put out a stress test.
Yep. So, seems like the general consensus, and this was pretty much in the chat as well, that we should have another beta, if not testing features, at least testing the matchmaking stability and the compatibility with having a lot of users on the system at once. Next tweet that we have is that the collector's limited edition, that big honkin' $250 box thing that you may or may not have pre-ordered, will have more information at least by E3. We'll know the full contents of all the different Halo 5 packages that are there. So the limited edition and the collector's limited edition, we'll know for sure by the time E3 rolls around, whether it be presented at E3 or before, of what is in that box.
I want my blue team. I want my blue team statue.
I would love a two-sided with both teams.
Yep, that'd be sick.
I would too, but geez, man, that'd be a huge statue.
Or what if it was that, or they'd be really short, that you could put together, like it had the locked team and blue team, but you could like pull it apart so you could have them both facing you, or you could the like bases fit together.
No.
As one giant piece.
I would want the whole thing to be pre-set and pre-animated. So, like, let's say, so, like, Locke and Chief are going at it. Like, they're punching each other or something like that. Or his team is, like, shooting at it. Like, I want there to be some sort of interaction between them that you wouldn't have to mess around. Because, like, we've seen, well, talking from experience, like, we have the Titanfall statue. Like, the movable characters that you do, they kind of just flop.
No, I'm not asking for the characters to move. I'm acting for the bases of each statue. Like, they can
come like a
yin-yang, right?
Right.
You can pull it apart, or you can keep it as one piece.
Okay. That'd be pretty cool, now that you say it like that.
I mean, I personally would like to see both teams in a statue, because they both look really cool.
Well, whatever it is that we're going to be getting, I think it's going to be a giant box. Well, it's going to be a statue that's going to be huge, because that box is massive. Like, that box is huge.
Yeah, I really am excited to see what's going to be in there.
I want to see more physical items. The Halo 4 collector's edition that we got skimped out. They skimped out so bad. Like, what they could have done with that could have been so much more. And the thing that really aggravated me the most was that we basically got it for free anyway. Like, it just, like, we basically got everything that was supposed to be limited anyway. And I felt that was really wrong. And a lot of people felt the same way. I mean, that was like the pre-order bonuses too. Like, with the Game of the Year edition, you could have got the Deadeye or the...
Well, the deal with the deal with that was, the one thing I really wanted is I wanted Halsey's journal.
Yeah.
Yep. And that, you did not get that any other way unless you bought the limited edition or collector's edition or whatever they called it. But, I wanted Halsey's journal, which I still need to finish reading. I get started on it and I get distracted. But anyway, because, a squirrel. I want to finish that so bad. But I wanted, when I heard that they were going to have two different versions and, they didn't really describe what they were yet, I was really hoping that they were going to announce, the regular edition and then the heroic edition. And then, a week later, we're going to throw in the legendary edition. And, it's going to have this, the one statue of Chief that they did with the Master Chief collection, the UK did. Something along that line. And it never showed up. And I was so depressed that they didn't do that. Because I've got the Halo 3 one, I've got the Reach one, and I was looking to put a Halo 4 one right next to it.
Yep. I would like to also see some DLC that the Legendary or whatever edition they call it.
The Collector's Limited Edition.
Collector's Limited. I want to see some DLC or an armor or something that is exclusive to those users and it stays exclusive. Not something, I bought the season pass, now I get it. I want a bonus that actually feels like, I spent $250 on it, and yes, I got the physical goodies that I get to see, but I want something that I can show off online when I'm gaming with my friends that just bought the base game. They can be like, hey, where'd you get that armor? I want to get that armor. Oh, sorry, you'll never be able to get this armor.
The Halo 4 console did that because you have the FOTUS armor, that the only way you can get that is to have the console.
Until the Game console. Of the Year edition came out, though.
No, it wasn't available.
It wasn't available in the Game of the Year.
The only place you could get that was if you bought the Halo 4 console. And in Reach, you could only get, what was it, the
flaming helmet.
Yeah, it was the red flaming or the blue flaming?
No, it was
the red flaming helmet. Only if you bought the collector's edition or the legendary edition. I'm with you, Haas. They should, if somebody drops $250 on, the limited collector's edition, they should get something in game that says, hey, I bought the big bad boy. Same with what they did with the console, where you see somebody in FOTUS armor, they own a Halo 4 console.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the signature deal of what you get. And it really makes me wonder what we will be getting, if we will be getting anything like that this time around. I mean, we got some interesting looking armor in Halo 4. We got a crap load of variations of armor, let it be helmets, chest pieces, everything like that. But I want to see skins too. Like, skins will be pretty cool. I don't know if they said that they weren't going to do that, but having an armor with a special skin would be pretty sick. Like, maybe have
I didn't feel like the collector's edition was special in Halo.
No. Sadly. It was small. It was, and the thing that really drives me nuts, I don't like digital content for something I'm going to pay a lot of money for. That won't carry over into anything else. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have something I can hold, something I can show off, and something I can be like, yeah, I paid a lot of money for that, and that's going to be sitting on my shelf for the rest of my life until I die. Like, I want something like that. I mean, like, the Titanfall statue is incredible.
Oh, yes.
The Halo Reach statue is incredible. Like, something of that magnitude. Like the Halo 3 Master Chief deal is awesome.
The helmet.
Yeah.
The Halo 4 Master Chief McFarlane statue, that should have been like a legendary edition Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, I'm ready to shell out money on Halo 5 with the console, the collector's edition.
As am I.
I'm ready. It's going to hurt, and it's going to be a conversation I know I'm going to have many times with my spouse, but
it's going to hurt very much bad.
You know, like Halo 4 was a tough sell, but I think, I don't know, and I hope it's something special that's different between the two. Like, you know, they always throw in that download token armor. I hope it's different between the collector's edition game and the console, so I could like combine the two for something unique.
Yeah. Yep.
Something specific for each one.
Yep.
I want the console so bad. Like I never had a themed console. I always have. I mean, what I'll probably end
up... Ever have or always have?
Never had. I never had a themed console. I've always had just the generic console. So what I'll probably end up doing is I'll probably end up getting the Halo 5 console and give the Xbox One to my little brother. Like the one I'm using now. That way, like, I'm not just wasting money. Because I don't want to have two consoles. That's just one thing about me. It's like,
I'm gonna take my old one up to the living room and actually use it what the Xbox One was originally intended to be in a multimedia device.
I'm doing the same thing with mine. I'm taking the one I currently have downstairs, putting my Halo 5 one right here in my bedroom, and then the one downstairs will be my living room one and my travel Xbox One.
Yep.
I don't want to use it though. It's like I wouldn't want like I do. I'm gonna use it, but it's like I don't want it to break.
You're one of those people that would buy a figure and leave it in the box.
No. Like, I'll put it on display.
That's stupid.
Or something. No. I
have figurines in a box still. I'm scared to open them, though.
So you're buying a figurine just to look at it. Why?
No, this was given to me, and it's a Prophet of Regret from Halo 2 joystick figurine. And I'm just worried about opening it. But most of my other Halo stuff I have opened up and I don't even care. But I don't know. There's some things I just won't open.
Well, personally. I mean if it's something super, super rare, if there's like a limited number of them, like if there's like 100 or 200 of them printed at a time, I'll leave them in the box. I will do that. Like, but if it's something generic that you can get like at any GameStop, Toys R Us, Walmart, or anything like that, I'll take it out of the box.
That's why I hope they make these things actually limited. Like, yeah, I want it to be hard to get. I want to feel like I want to feel awesome when I run into GameStop the second they say, oh, okay, these consoles are ready for pre-order, and I zip to GameStop and, you know, I get, or wherever, and I get number one of 10 of the 10 that each store was promised of that console, because it's going to be that rare. I'm going to walk out of there like a big shot, even though nobody cares that I'm walking out. But personally, in my mind, I'm going to feel like a big shot.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, like the number thing is something that sticks with me all the time. Like a certificate of authenticity is something I want with this. To show like these are limited, like,
yeah,
like you have number 2017.
Like the Spartan helmet from Halo 3 was numbered, but yeah, like, yep, have it of, you know, if I have number 343 of 10,000
million
or yeah, not, 1 million, million whatever,
or something like, yeah, but numbers is something that I really look at. I don't know if that's something with me, but like anything that I have that had numbers on it has a little bit more of a, like, anything, like, for example, I got the Halo 4 concept art piece that has a certificate of authenticity I got from RTX, and that is, it has individual numbered of 200. And me and Drax were talking on Twitter, and we were going back and forth. He has 119, or 190, and I have 193 out of 200.
I have number 3.
Nice.
Aren't you special?
I wanted number 1. She had, like, she had number 4, and I was looking for 93. She didn't have that, so the next thing up was 193. So I got that. But Like something
numbered. Wait, we must be talking about the wrong one because the one that I have there is at a 175.
Oh no, the one I got was the one Cortana Touch and Chief's cryotube.
Oh, I'm thinking of the watercolor warthog one.
No. This is different. But no, I mean, like, it just shows that it's more of a collector's item than it is just a generic thing that they put out that they'll have more of.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's what makes it a limited collector's edition.
Yeah, the past history with the, you know, the legendary editions of Halo, they haven't really truly been what I would consider a true collector's item, because there's just so damn many of them.
Yep.
You know, if it truly is a collector's edition, they need to keep the numbers limited. But where is that magic number is the trick. You have all these Halo fans that are going to go for this. And I'd love to see the numbers on how many of the limited collector's editions have already been pre-ordered.
If they put that stat out that said this many have been pre-ordered of this many that are being made. Oh, mm-hmm. Can you imagine the kind of little...
there'd be
the frenzy that would happen, especially if those quantities were low.
Very limited.
Yeah. I would automatically put a second one on pre-order. I would find the money to pre-order a second one.
Gotcha.
I would wait on the console just so I could have the other one, because I know the console's not going to be that limited.
The console's probably not, but I have a feeling the Halo 5 Collector's Limited is probably going to be more limited.
Yeah, it's going to be more limited, but they're going to have, you know,
Like, what
probably
would be a good number?
Tens of thousands of copies.
10% of the Xbox One install base? Like, is that a good number?
I would say 20.
No. 20.
That's a lot.
Less.
20%?
Less.
That's a lot.
You know, I was thinking maybe...
Maybe 5 at the most.
The 5 to 9%.
Single digits.
5 to 9% area.
Wait, hold on. I'm confused. Repeat the question. What was the question again?
Install base for collector's edition Halo 5 Xboxes versus normal Xboxes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. All right. Yeah. Let's go with the number lucky 7.
The number lucky 7?
Lucky number 7. There you go. I got that backwards.
Of course, you know, my breakfast was $7.77 this morning.
Oh, wow.
Coincidence?
I wonder. Actually, that's what it's been for the last 2 weeks, because I ordered the same thing.
Yep.
And they recently increased the prices on what I was buying, and it turned out that it worked out to be $7.77. I thought that was kind of fun.
Very nice.
I thought about tweeting a picture of it, but I just never got around to it.
Well, if you're buying the same thing over and over again, you have ample opportunity to do so, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those deals that it's kind of neat, but oh well. On to the next thing.
Yeah, there's one more tweet for us to address, and then there's a couple other things that we'll mention before heading off tonight. The last tweet is... For the ranking system in Halo 5, there's still going to be the Spartan rank system, and then there's going to be the competitive skill rank, the reinvigorated CSR in arena mode. And then there's also going to be a different progression / unlock system
credits.
That we'll be hearing about. Yeah, credits, like in Reach.
I hope it's Reach's credit system. I loved that.
That made me
want to keep playing.
Yes.
Yep.
Actually, to get the armor pieces that you want, you had to keep playing, which I think is one of the... I think from the aspect of quote-unquote ranks, the unlock progression system in Reach was great for unlocking armor pieces. And then I think the skill ranking in Halo 3 was probably the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing I really hope that they focus a lot on. Is, you know, getting a skill rank that you can be matched up correctly on.
Something that they haven't done in a little while.
Yeah. I would just like to be able to play people that are on my same level, because it makes the whole experience a lot more enjoyable, because you get those close games where, you know, you win by one or two kills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, the blowout games on either side, I don't have fun with. You know, if my team is the one, you know, that's 25 points ahead, or, you know, I'm the team that's 25 points behind, those games aren't as much fun as the ones that, you know, you win by, you know, 5 or 3 points, or, you know, those really close ones. Cause, you know, then you feel like you really worked for the win.
It's a lot more fun.
I loved the ranking system they've had, as we've said in the past. It, especially for team games, like, you know what? When I play a team game, there's a reason why I don't go in unless I'm going to have more than myself of people that mm-hmm. I can trust. Like, so if I'm choosing to go in a 4v4 or an 8v8 game type, that's my choice, but I'm going to be given the teammates I'm given. If I go in with my party, then yeah, like I should rise for my choices. Like there's going to be a risk reward for regardless. And you know what? I don't care. I want a loss to count the same amount as any other loss. You lose, you win, you win. You know, the stupid Fast and the Furious quote that gets quoted every single time, doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, winning's winning. That's how I want my ranking system.
Well, and if you go back to the Halo 5 beta, how it was, that's pretty much the way they're doing it.
And that's what I want.
I
have your you know, your individual Spartan rank. I don't care, you know, that's purely stats based for you. But then have your playlist rank, which is going to be determined by winning, losing. If it's FFA, then that's your individual. This is how I do in an FFA. If I'm in a doubles list, this is how I do in team doubles with my teammates.
And that's what it sounds like this SR-CSR progression split is catering towards.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, give people their casual rank, give people their competitive rank, and then have your little credit bonus system where I can buy my Mark VI.
Yep.
I just hope that they have, you know, some type of social playlist that's not driven by rank.
Well, they're already having that. It's just outside of Arena.
That's more matched up by your individual rank. You know, like how well you perform per game. And, you know, that's what you're is considered your individual rank, because, you know, there's times when, you know, I want to get on and play some CFT, but, you know, nobody on my friends list is on.
What's CFT?
CTF. Sorry. I'm dyslexic. Leave me alone.
But to that point though, there's going to be playlists that are FFA. So that's when your FFA rank is going to be, because if you look at the CSR for Halo 4, that they had two different kinds of CSRs. They had one that was team-based and one that was FFA-based, depending on what playlist you're in. So that's going to be in Halo 5 regardless.
Well, you know, it's like when I don't want to play FFA all the time. You know, I want to go be able to go into, you know, objective game types and get matched up with people that are of equivalent skill to me.
Right. So,
I think in the beta, because you had a smaller player base, I think that's why people were ranking up against, you know, they were a bronze and you were playing up against a semi pro. I think that was purely a player base issue, not really a, you know, this is how our ranking system works. Good luck.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, yeah, for a ranked playlist, you should be going in. You know, if you're going in to play team objective, you should be going in with a team you know, you know, that you play with. But I just want to have that option there to where I can go play a team game and still have that.
If you're doing a team game, you're going to be matched up with that rank on how well you play on that in that playlist, team or not. It's going to be based on, if you're in a team playlist, you're going to be given a team rank.
A team rank is dependent on how well your team does, not how well you do.
Well, that's kind of the point of team objectives.
Like I said, that's why, you know, for a ranked list, that's what should matter.
So you want a social list.
you know, I want to have social objective.
So there, I would be very surprised if there was not social objective or just social playlists in general. I think
everything's going to be ranked in some sort. Like, maybe they won't have a visible rank, but like in a social list, have it be a rank where you're going to match up against social players, that the games are still competitive.
Yeah. You know, I like the way Halo 3 did it. You know, they had the ranked playlists and then they had the social playlists. In the ranked playlist, you got a number along with your, you know, captain or, you know, your actual title. But, you know, in the social playlist, all you got was your title.
Yeah, but it had the same underlying rank structure as the ranked playlist did.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, make that rank, you know, if I'm a captain in Halo 3, let me play other captains or, you know, in that sense.
Well, see, you know, that's where one of the problems with Halo 3 was, is, you know, you'd go into a social playlist and you're playing against people that really should, you know, they're good enough. They should be in the ranked playlist, but they're playing in the social playlist because, you know, I'll get matched up against people that are generals and all this other stuff. You know, so I do believe there needs to be some sort of, you know, skill-based matchmaking in the social, and it should be on a personal level, not how well you do in that playlist. It's, you know, how well you personally perform so that you can get matched up with people that are of similar skill to you.
So you're saying and use one complete rank across every single social playlist?
Then, well, yeah, as far as just for the matchmaking portion, because, you know, you're not going to have a visible rank in a social playlist other than, you know, maybe, you know, like they did in Reach, which was more based on credit than anything. But
yeah, I understand what he's saying. I get what he's saying.
You know, when you get into a ranked playlist, then whatever your rank in that playlist, you know, that's how you get match made. Because, you know, if you're playing a team objective playlist in ranked, you're going to be going in there with the same, you know, three or four people as much as you can. And then there, you know, in that situation, you know, the team rank makes sense because, you know, you all are working as a team to increase that rank to move higher in there. You know, in a social playlist, when I want to go into a social playlist, I want to have the challenge. I don't want it to be a total blowout and I don't want to get totally smoked. I want to play people that are, you know, equivalent to my level, my personal level of play.
I guess that makes sense. It's going to be, if they haven't tried something out like that already, I'd be very surprised. Now, granted, I know that a lot of their focus is on this new arena gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
How that's going to affect the overall ranking system, it's hard to say. But I think you have a good point about having an individual rank that kind of plays to all the playlists from a social experience, because you're actually going in based off of your own skill. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if that's, you'd have to do testing with that. You'd have to do match, see how it matches up on having basically a global rank for you and how that matches up and from an individual skill point, and then see how it does versus a per playlist setting. I get what you're saying about a general coming into a social playlist that they maybe rarely play and having a low rank in there and just completely wiping the floor. I understand that. So I think that's a good case for doing something like this. I just don't know, with the focus that 343 has on focusing more on the arena gameplay style, if that's going to also more heavily influence the social playlist as well.
You know, it would help, you know, across the board on that, because anytime you get into play, whether it be ranked or social, you're still being challenged. You're not going to get that blowout game. You know, you're going to have to work for the win. Where, you know, in Halo 3, the problem with that one was, is you'd get these higher ranked players, you know, and, you know, people that are better at the game than you in a social match. And then all of a sudden you've got this blowout match and they get an easy win. You know, you shouldn't be able to get an easy win. It should be a fight every time.
And that's what should make it fun.
Well, that's right. Why you have ranking and deranking, is to get you closer. I mean, not every game is going to be competitive. No, not every, I mean,
right.
Not every game's going to be, because, you know, everybody has off game, or it's, you know, you're going to get a weird match occasionally. But the deal is if you've got somebody that is really good at the game, or you've got a small group of people that's really good at the game, they should be playing people that are of equivalent skill.
Yeah, but in most cases, you're gonna be playing against people. But, like, you know, well, I'm ranking up, just because you play the game more than me doesn't mean you're a better player than me. So you're gonna run into that.
Well, you know, I mean, your playlist ranking should be based off of, you know, and this is in social and in ranked, should be based off how well the team did, the actual rank that you get in that playlist. I'm just saying that for, you know, matching you up with players in a social environment, there should be a different way to match people up, not just your playlist rank. Because, you know, your playlist rank is subject to a lot more variables, because, you know, you could get just matched up with three people that, you know, totally suck at the mat, you know, totally suck at the game, you know, compared to the level that you're normally playing at. I just think it'd make it a lot more enjoyable experience, you know, if you're playing people of, you know, an equivalent skill, of your equivalent skill, not necessarily like in a social environment, your playlist.
Yeah.
Rank.
I get what you mean.
I hope I explained that well enough that everybody does.
Yeah, I think you did. I'm going to push this along, since we're running long on this show. So not to just cut you off, but the other two things that I wanted to address were, one is a post that Josh made over on Team Beyond. So someone asked whether or not Invasion would be coming back, and he said no, or at least it's not really planned right now. He says no Invasion, but more to come on a larger scale multiplayer. And then for Breakout, they're actually experimenting with objectives. And right now they're working with Capture the Flag and seeing how that works. Nothing set in stone.
Where did you hear that idea before?
We may have mentioned it. I still want to see the ring the bell type game type idea looked at and evaluated. I think that would be a perfect fit for Breakout, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if they have the trait zones and stuff, or, you know, the switches and stuff like they have in Halo 2A, it would be very simple to build, even if they didn't include it.
Uh-huh. Or even something like S&D I know that's playing a Call of Duty, but it works for one life objective. It's just a variant of Assault.
Breakout with objectives is going to be interesting, because it's so fast paced, and it's, I don't know, like, I don't know if it necessarily needs objectives. I would want some, but it just, I felt that it did perfectly without them.
So the argument that I've heard from a lot of competitive people is that the way that Breakout currently is, it's going to get old very quickly.
I would agree.
At least this style of play. Now, that's not to say that for Arena, we're not going to get the classic style Slayer that you have respawn, same with CTF and whatnot. But if we're looking at Breakout in the grand scheme of things when it comes to competitive play, if that's something they're going to push, then that is going to get old very quickly. So it would be nice to see if some variation in there.
Well, right. No, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, they, like, SWAT put in a whole bunch of different game types. I wonder if they would make a new game type just for Breakout. It'd be interesting to see what they would come up with. Like, maybe have a new type of, like, stockpile, if that makes any sense. Like, for Breakout, like, maybe have...
I'm not sure if you could do that with a one life per round thing.
Yeah, whatever they do with Breakout, it's going to have to be a one-shot objective.
Well, right. Well, I'm like, what I'm saying is, just like, maybe have four flags or two flags on either, not on each opponent's side, but like maybe have them, like maybe have four flags, but you have to capture as many as you can. And then, like, when that round ends, it adds up in the end.
But the thing is, once the last person dies, it's over. you have to have a game type that's compatible with everyone eliminating the other team.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's like have that still in there, but have it to where you could take that flag back to your side. And then when everybody's done, that like that next round will add up all the flags you already got in that one round. You see what I'm saying?
That's not the nature of Breakout, though.
I know. But I'm saying it would be interesting to see what they could come up with game types like that. Not necessarily having in it Breakout, like have the Breakout deal with having that one life, you know, having those shields and all that stuff, but see what they could do for objectives with it.
Angry Lettuce said the bomb game type from CSGO, and I think that'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
It would need to, I think, be on bigger maps to kind of add that sneaky element to it, because I don't think the maps would work.
Yeah, that's S&D from Call of Duty
too. Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe Counter-Strike's form is better, in my opinion, but I don't know. That'd be just cool to me.
Well, the concepts, I think, are exactly the
same. Yeah, the concept is very much the same. It's one life, but I don't know. Call of Duty's just is kind of different.
Gotcha. That, I think, is more applicable to Breakout than Capture the Flag is, to be honest.
Yeah, I think if it's Capture the Flag, it'd need to be kind of based off your idea of Ring the Bell.
And that just makes sense to me, because it's something where you're trying to work your way up to a tower or something, and you're obviously having to watch out for people looking up and shooting at you. But I mean, if you ring the bell for your team, no matter who's left alive, round's over, or if you eliminate the other team, round's over. So it works well into that dynamic of Breakout. And I think the search and destroy, or the bomb from Counter-Strike, I think that has the same kind of influence, where it works very well with a one life round based gameplay.
You know, the other thing with, like, you know, a bomb plant type situation is that if you get down to one player, you know, the bomb carrier, I would think, would need to have some small advantage, you know, whether it be he picks up extra shield, or, you know, maybe some form of camo or movement speed increase or something, because it seems kind of pointless. You know, granted, this, you know, plays into team play. You know, you want to make sure that your team, as, you know, being the bomb carrier, or the team carrying the bomb, you want to make sure that as many of your team stay alive as possible. But I think in the situation where, you know, you've got that team down to one person, there still should be a chance that they could still plant the bomb and win the round. But I don't know how you would implement that.
That's a discussion for another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to bring up, and this is something that's kind of been out for a little while, but we've kind of let it slip under the radar, but there's a new game coming out, Halo Fleet Battles. Have you guys seen this yet?
Yes.
I've seen pictures of it, yeah.
I wish I could fit that into my Halo budget this year, but I think it's going to have to wait.
Wait, what is this?
So it's a tabletop spaceship combat game. Like
it's like a D&D game, isn't it?
Not really. It's more like a board strategy game, I think.
Right.
Well, you know, I haven't really read into the details of it, honestly, because it's not the type of game that I would play. I mean, I may get it just to have it for the collectible side of it, but, you know, it's something that there's a lot of other things I want to get before I'd get that. So I haven't really read into what type of game it is, but, you know, from what I saw, it looks like, you know, you have some type of, you know, dice that you roll to determine your attack or your defense. So, yeah, I just wondered if anybody knew exactly what type of game it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's also a special event, though, for people going to Salute 2015, which I'm not exactly sure what that is, but you're going to get a couple of special edition busts that come with it, that if you're only at Salute 2015, you pre-order, you'll get it there.
That's cool.
Which is insane. It's a Keys one, and
I never even heard of Salute 15.
It's an Elite. I don't know who the Elite is. I'm looking in this article. If someone knows on the stream,
Wait, I didn't think that was Keys, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, I think that's Keys because it's based around The Fall of Reach, the book The Fall of Reach. It's the game is based around the space combat that we read about in the book The Fall of Reach.
Gotcha.
So there's a bunch of UNSC ship models and Covenant ship models that are going to be in this. And there's actually someone visited Spartan Games recently. I was actually able to get some pictures of the early productions that they had of it. And if you go over to HaloCollector.com, there's a couple of posts up there of whoever the guy was that went to go see the game, of some pretty neat pictures of what's inside. So there's 49 different ship models. There's 20 or so different custom Halo dice for this game. There's a 100-page manual for all the rules and examples and all that stuff in there. Token sheets, overlay cards, and whatnot. Yeah. This thing is going to be pretty awesome.
Like, I don't play tabletop games, but I would play it for, or I would at least have the figurines.
We might be at PAX.
No, that's true.
Hmm.
And it's £80 right now on SpartanGames.co.uk.
It's like $120 bucks, right?
I think it's more like 100 with the conversion rate.
Right.
But, I mean, with all the different Halo figures that you're getting in there and a lot of Halo Edition specific stuff, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. $122.74.
That change.
Talk about a huge Halo budget this year.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, my pocket has a hole.
Yeah.
It's burning a hole.
Yep. Hopefully we'll get some more information on that and we'll make a post about it. Or if we manage to get someone on the show to actually talk about it, whether it be some of the Halo Collector staff or not, I think this would be something cool to talk about in the near future, or depending on when it actually comes out, talk about it when it comes out. Anyways, that was the last thing I wanted to mention. Is there anything else that you guys can think of in Halo news recently that we should bring up before we close out?
No. Not that I think of, no.
Okay, so with that, thanks everyone for tuning in. Remember, you can check us out on our Twitch stream if you've downloaded us and are listening to us via iTunes or Zune or Stitcher or Xbox Podcast or whatever. We do our shows live on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 5:30 p.m. Pacific. We also have been doing our Hunt the Truth episodes. Those have been Tuesdays or Wednesdays, depending on guests and schedules. So we have two podcasts a week here up until E3 when Hunt the Truth concludes, which has been very interesting. Our previous Hunt the Truth episode was for episode 5 of the podcast, and we had a special guest, Toa Freak, some may know him as Halo Cannon off of YouTube, on the show to talk about the episode and the mysterious key art and some of the notable things in there, like Blue Team and Locke's Team and all the Sanghelios references in there. A very good podcast. I recommend you guys go listen to it if you have not done so already. And make sure you check us out on our social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course Twitch if you're listening to us live. You can also check out our game nights on Fridays on the Master Chief Collection. Mr. Godzilla T himself has been hosting those graciously. And with the update, I think a lot of people are still okay. There's been a few more incidents, I think, of people not being able to play. But while we were recording this podcast, Che Chow actually posted a update addressing some of the party issues that more people have been experiencing. So there's supposed to be a new hotfix out next week. And not to kind of point out the red herring in the room here again, but the online cup is again delayed until next weekend because of the party issues. Yeah. Hopefully this hotfix will be out in time and they'll be able to do the online cup for next week, starting May 6th. That is just one of those things that is very unfortunate right now, and Halo needs all the help it can get, and it's just kind of still digging its own grave.
Mm-hmm.
We're rooting for you, but it's hard.
We're trying.
I know. We're like trying to pull you out of the hole that just keeps like, well, I take that back. It's a lot better now than it was at launch, but it's still a struggle to see people actually on and playing. Heck, I haven't even played in the last month. That's mostly because I've been busy doing other things, but a lot of people are still frustrated over the things from launch that are still issues for some people. And there are some people that still can't even find a game.
Which I did see a tweet out and I shared it, and it seemed to actually help people that have never gotten a game actually into a game. And I hope that's actually something that works. It seems like a DNS removal, apparently.
From your router or from Xbox? Or
on the Xbox.
Okay.
You can remove it. Yeah, and I'll send that out again.
That might be a good front page article. So there's that. And finally, I think the last thing to address is check out our podcast network, thepodcast.com, where you can check out shows like Guardian Radio, Critcast, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, and The Learning Cliff. All great podcasts to listen to if you're looking for some other gaming podcasts to get in on, or if you're interested in those games, those are some podcasts you may want to check out. We will be back next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, for the next episode of Hunt the Truth, and then again Thursday next week for our recurring news and community show. That's it for us tonight. Keep on fragging. What do we want to frag tonight? No land? Yeah, keep on fracking no lands.